Today, Shir's Masechta Erev and Daf Tzadik Dalet. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, Itmar. The Gemara continues with its discussion that we had in our previous Shir about Kivin Shotra Hotra. Under what circumstances do we say that if Erev was effective as Shabbos began, it remains effective for the duration of Shabbos, or do we not say Kivin Shotra Hotra? So says the Gemara, Itmar. We learned the following machloikus. Kaisel shebein shehecha tzeris shenafal. If you have a wall between two chatzeris, where there was no window or door between in this wall, and therefore these two chatzeris cannot make an eruv together, rather each chatzer made its own eruv. Rav Omar, Rav says, ein metaltlen ba, we can't count, we cannot carry. Now this wall fell down. So what was really required was that we should make an Erev to, if this would have been before Shabbos, we would have to make one Erev connecting the two Chatzeris. But here, the wall fell down on Shabbos. Says Rav, the each individual Erev that we just mentioned, each Chatzer has, will not be any more effective, and therefore you may not carry El ba'arba amos. Each chotzer may only carry within arba amos and not any more. The Shmuel Amar, the Shmuel, on the other hand, holds that zematat ad eker mechitza, this one could carry, this chotzer could carry relying on its erev, the zematat al eker mechitza, and this chotzer could carry relying on this erev. Of course, Rashi, Divrei HaMaskil Rav, points out that the discussion we're having here, if you may or may not carry, is only regarding kalim that were indoors as Shabbos began. But kalim that were outdoors, we don't have such a problem. However, we have to go back to what Rav taught us earlier in this perek. Rav teaches us that if each chotzer makes its own erev, then not only, obviously, if there's no erev between the two chatzeris, may you not carry from one chotzer to the other. But as we've learned in Rav's opinion, that if there was an Erev, they wouldn't be allowed to carry even kalim that were outdoors. So here we have the following situation. Rav says that this Erev now got disqualified because the wall failed. The individual Erev got disqualified. So not only will they not be allowed to carry, rely on this Erev, but it's going to be even more so. Because since we're following the opinion of Rav, if they made an Erev, then they couldn't carry anything from one chotzer to the other. Obviously, Rashi continues to teach us in that, Rashi, Divrei HaMaskil Rav, that the basis for this is because Rav holds that we don't say Kivin Shotra Hotra. And just because it was good at the beginning of Shabbos, then it's good at the beginning, a continuation of Shabbos. Shmuel, obviously, is of the opinion that Kivin Shotra Hotra. And because Shmuel is of the opinion of Kivin Shotra Hotra, so the kalim that were indoors, that we were allowed to bring out to the chotzer, because each chotzer had its own erev, Shmuel holds that even though the chotzer, the mechitza, fell down, you could carry them, but you can't carry them only as much as you could have carried them as when there was an Erev. And therefore, the halacha is you could only carry them up to the wall till where the Erev extended. But, continues Rashi, Divrei HaMaskil Zeh, to teach us, kalim that were in the chotzer from before Shabbos, so again, following Rav Shimon's opinion, with Shmuel's interpretation of Rav Shimon's opinion, the halacha will be that you carry them from one chatzar to the other chatzar. Because according to Shmuel, Rav Shimon teaches us you could always carry from one chatzar to another chatzar. And according to Shmuel, Rav Shimon said that then, even if there was an Erev there from before Shabbos. Says Tosfos, that this machloikus that we just are learning between Rav and Shmuel has a kula and a chumra. That indeed, as the Gemara just mentioned, that when the wall fell down, Rav disqualifies the Erev that is in existence, and Shmuel is lenient. He says, Kivan Shotra Hotra, once the Erev was good as Shabbos began, it remains valid. But there's going to be, says Taisu, situations that it's just going to be just the opposite, where Rav is a Mekel, and Shabbos is, and Shmuel's a Machmer, because we're also going to apply the concept of Kivan Shenesra Nesra. What does that mean? What would be if there was no Erev, that you could not carry as Shabbos began? And now something happened that would allow that you should be able to carry. For example, let's say at the beginning of Shabbos, you had a certain amount, Shnayim v'nitoisvelei. You had two people, we spoke about this earlier in the Masechta, and now more people came. According to Rav, even though at the beginning of Shabbos, it was us to carry here, but now it becomes mutter. But according to Shmuel, just like we're going to say Kivin Shehotra Hotra, we're also going to have to say Kivin Shenesra Nesra. Says the Gemara, for Hod Rav, this that we see, the Rav is of the opinion that we don't say Kivin Shehotra Hotra, says the Gemara, Lab Aferishitma, was not stated explicitly by him, El Mechlal Itma. It's something that we learned from something that we saw Rav Paskin. And as I saw the Mefarshim point out, throughout Shas, this type of a statement comes up often, La Beferish Itma, El Mechlal Itma. But, and there are two different directions that the Gemara goes when we have such a statement. Sometimes the Gemara says that and therefore our understanding may be incorrect. And sometimes when the Gemara says La Beferish Itma El Bechol Itma, the Gemara says, yes, that is a valid way of understanding what the opinion of whoever's opinion we're trying to understand was. In this Gemara, the Gemara leaves it just as a statement. The Gemara says, Had the Rav La Beferish Itma El Bechol Itma, is just as a ambiguous statement that we didn't hear Rav say it explicitly, we only heard it. But the Gemara doesn't ask or say anything, comment further than that. Where do we see it from? It says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel have a yasub ahu chatzar. Rav Shmuel was sitting in a chatzar, nafal gudu de beri beri, and the wall dividing this chatzar into two chatzeres fell down. And each chatzar was now separate. Amal Shmuel, so Shmuel told his Talmidim, Shkula glima negidibah, put up the talis to serve now as a mechitza between the two chatzeres. I had written Rav l'ape, and Rav turned his face around, presumably, as Rashi says, the very maskul hadrinu, to show that you can't carry here. He turned and he was showing protest, because once the wall fell down, the two chatzeres became connected, and when the two chatzeres become connected, if they didn't make an Erev connecting them, you can't carry here at all. Omla Shmuel, so Shmuel said to his Talmidim, Ikopet Abba, if Rav, he used to call Rav Abba, either because that was his right name or that's a title of Kovet, Shekulei Hem Nivikitruba, take his belt and tie it. Let's make him participate in the building of this wall. Of course, the Meiri and other Rishonim explained that this was just trying to show that I know I'm right and Rav shouldn't say I'm wrong. Others say that maybe what Rav was concerned about was that the wall's not going to stand. So Shmuel said, take my belt and take Rav's belt and use it to fortify this new mechitza. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, what bothered Rav was that they're now going to continue carrying based on the original Eruvim that they had in each chatzar individually, even though the Eruv became disqualified by it falling down. And Rav's opinion is that we don't say Kivan Shotra Hotra. Rashi, however, does not mention the other consideration. If you build an oil, and we've spoken about this many times, if you build a mechitza on Shabbos, and it's an arai, it's not a permanent wall. The halacha tells us that we have to see what type of a mechitza is it. Is it a mechitza on a terrace? Is it a mechitza that creates a heter? Then we're not allowed to put it up. If it's a mechitza she'ena materis, we could be more lenient. This mechitza, according to Rashi, according to Rav, was a mechitza materis. Because we're going to have now the wall, the two chatzeris will be still separate. And therefore each individual Erev will still be fine. And Rashba makes the point. So that also should have been a reason that according to Rav, according to his opinion, should have said that this should not be done. And therefore, the Rashba explains that what Rav was upset with Shmuel was really on two counts. One was that he wasn't ready to accept the concept of Kivin Shehotra Hotra. And since he's not ready to accept the concept of Kivin Shehotra Hotra, putting up this mechitza is making a mechitza materes, which is also on Shabbos. But ask the Gemara, according to Shmuel, that subscribes to the concept of Kivin Shehotra Hotra, Lomali Ho, why did they have to put up a mechitza? Hamar, didn't we just learn at the top of this Amid that according to Shmuel, if there was a valid Erev as Shabbos began, Kivin Shehotra Hotra, and therefore Allah is Zemetaltal ad Ikka Mechitza, Zemetaltal at the Mechitza, they could continue carrying. So why do you have to go through this bother of putting up the Mechitza? Answers the Gemara, the entire reason that Shmuel put up this mechitza, Shmuel Ovid Litzniyus Ba'alma. He only did it for privacy purposes, not for halachic purposes. But ask the Gemara on the other hand, Rav Isfir Le Da'asr, if Rav doesn't agree with Shmuel, because Rav doesn't subscribe to Kivin Shehotra Hotra, so why did he just turn away? Lemele, he should have said so to him explicitly. Answers the Gemara, Asr the Shmuel Hava. It was the place where Shmuel was the Rav, and since Shmuel was the Rav, He wanted to show respect to Shmuel, and therefore he didn't. Even though he disagreed with him, he didn't say it explicitly. So says the Gemara. So why did he turn away? Says the Gemara. He didn't want that anybody should have to make a mistake to think that he agrees with Shmuel. Nobody should say that Shmuel that he holds like Shmuel. So he didn't say it explicitly out of respect to Shmuel. He just turned his face away. So we see from here, says the Rashba, that in the place there's a Rav, nobody should paskin against him, even Lahachmer, because he's the Rav of this place. However, the Rashba makes a number of qualifications, conditions. He says, throughout Shas we find two types of mistakes that a person can make when he paskins a Shaila. One is a Toz B'Shikol Adas, and one is a toss with Vav Mishnah. A toss with Shikol Adas means that I think that this should be halacha, and you think that this should be halacha. That type of an error is everybody's entitled to their opinion. So says the Rashba, our Gemara is teaching us that one may not go against the Rav. But if the Rav makes a mistake with Vav Mishnah, something that's explicit, then if you disagree, you think that he went against what the halacha explicitly tells us, then you of course should say something. Moreover, says the Miri, this that you have to show this respect to the Rav is only by a drabonin. As our Gemara, the whole concept, as we keep on repeating, of Erevin is only a drabonin. But when we're speaking about a deraisa, or he says, even a drabonin, which is a very serious drabonin, he applies the concept that we learned earlier in our Masechta on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Kol Makom Sheyesh Chil Hashem, Ein Cholkim Kavod L'Rav. When there's a Chil Hashem on the line, then the halacha is there's no exceptions, and the halacha is that you whatever you're supposed to do, whatever the halacha requires you to do, you have to do. So this is of course a very important discussion. At what point are you allowed to disagree with a Rav, and at what point may you not disagree with Rav? The Yaivitz says that a Talmud could disagree with his Rav when the Rav paskins a Shaila. The Shach, however, in Yorah Day is Simon Reish Mem Gimel, Sif Cotton Gimel, quoting the Marik, disagrees. And he says, a Talmud has no right to disagree with a Rav only when the Talmud is of a greater became greater stature than the Rav. But to disagree, he may not disagree with his Rav. Again, however, the Yavetz points out, there's two different types, and this is very much in line with what we just quoted from the Rashba. He says there's two different types of disagreement. When you disagree, because you think that your Rebbe made a mistake in Svara, then you have to be limited in where you could disagree with him. However, in a situation where the mistake was not that type of mistake, where the mistake was when you see your Rebbe just issued an erroneous psak, there you have to say what you have to say. Moreover, I saw that the Sefer Cheshukei Chemed has a very serious discussion, about how to act towards a Rav. And he says that the Rav of a community is the final authority in that community. For example, that he quotes a Pesachei Tshuva, who quotes a Noi de Behuda, that says, in a city where there's a Rav, he is supposed to be the Masada Kedushin at all weddings. And the Shalos HaTshuvos Shaul HaMeishiv in Tlisa Chelek Aleph Siman Reish Lametes takes it a step further. That if somebody was Masada Kedushin in a city where there's a Rav, that Kedushin are invalid. And you have to do it over with the Rav being the Masada Kedushin. The Marsham in Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Samach is not as strict. He says that the Kedushin should not have been done by a different Rav. He goes on to say that there's an Isser of Asagas Kavol, moving into somebody else's territory, somebody else's property. But to say that the Kedushin is invalid is too far. And he says a very simple explanation. He says, actually, in all brachas, which Siddur Kedushin, the main part of the Siddur Kedushin is the bracha, so in all brachas, I should really make my own bracha. However, because Kadesh Loi Levayish, in order not to embarrass someone who's unable to make his own bracha, the minig became that the Rav makes the bracha. So the Siddur Kedusha doesn't really belong to the Rav either. It really belongs to the Chassan. And therefore, if the Siddur Kedusha was done by a different Rav, he completely agrees that's not what should have happened. But he says, we can't say that it's not a valid Siddur Kedusha. The Divrei Makil in Chelek Dalet Siman Kuf Yadalet says it takes a very interesting approach. He says that a person who is Masada Kedushin in a place that he's not supposed to be Masada Kedushin, the halacha is is obviously acting not properly, and a rov needs Siyata Shmaya to paskin a shayla correctly. He quotes the Gemara that we learned earlier in Amasechta on Daf Samach Gimel Amabez, that Hamayra Alocha b'fnei Rabbi, if somebody paskins a shayla in front of his Rebbe when he wasn't supposed to, Lo Mustaya Milsa Laharis Kalocha, he doesn't have the Siyata de Shmaya to paskin the shayla properly. So he says this person who is Masada Kedushin in a time and in a place they should have not. Every Rav, as he begins to do what he's supposed to do, needs Siyata D'Shmaya to do it properly. He won't have the Siyata D'Shmaya, and therefore we have to be concerned that the Siddur Kedushin was not a valid Siddur Kedushin. Our Gemara began with a discussion of Kivin Shehutra Hutra. There's a very interesting discussion in the Paiskin. We know Rachman Lotzlan Lo Yaleinu V'Lo Yaleichem. The halach is that if somebody becomes an oinen, where a close relative of his, a relative from whom he has to sit shiva, passes away, the halach is that he's not allowed to daven, he's not allowed to learn until after the kvura. So what would be the halach if somebody's already in the middle of davening? And in the middle of his davening, he finds out that unfortunately he became an oinen. And the Birka Yosef from the Chidah discusses this halacha, and he paskins that here we don't say kivin shehutra hitra. And therefore, even though in our Gemara Shmuel says kivin shehutra hitra, the halacha is that he should not stop. But then he uses our Gemara that differentiates maybe between Issa Darabon and Issa Daraisa. The Issa for Oinon to Davin when he's an Oinon is an Issa Darabonon. And therefore he says that the Oinon should finish his davening. Our Gemara also said, we quoted the Rajba, that putting up the talus, putting up this piece of material to separate the two chatzeris, so as the Rajba said, involved two issues. One was relying on an Erev, even though it got disqualified, because Rav, as we just said, does not subscribe to the concept of Kim Shotra Hutra. And the other issue that we discussed was putting up a Mechitza, even though it's a Mechitza Sarai, but it's a Mechitza Materis, is also on Shabbos. And that's why Rav, we saw, was dissatisfied. So the Tehillah of David discusses a question that comes up, that if somebody in many shuls, the minig is on Simchas Torah, they all stand, many people stand by the Bima, by Chasim Torah, by Kol HaNa'arim, by Chasim Bereishis, and they put a talus over all the people who are standing there. Why is that not called making a mechitza on Shabbos, on Oil Arai? So he says, since that isn't at all the way a mechitza is made, it's even less than a roi. That's not the way an oil looks. That's not their intention of the people standing there to make an oil. Therefore, it's asur. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosoi says that shouldn't be extended past what we just said. And therefore, he says, if you have an umbrella, and even if the umbrella was open from before Shabbos, so now I'm just walking with an umbrella and now it's raining and I want to walk outside in a place where you're allowed to carry, obviously, with that umbrella, that's much more of a situation of a real mechitza versus just holding a talus over your head. And therefore, if Shlomo Zalman says that, as we know, that we don't carry an umbrella on Shabbos, but not only don't we carry an umbrella, not only don't we open an umbrella on Shabbos, we wouldn't even be allowed to carry an umbrella that was open from before Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Chatzah shenifetz al rabim. If a chatzah was opened up to Rosh Hashanah rabim, hamachzim toichel Rosh Hashanah yochid. If somebody carries from that chatzah to Rosh Hashanah yochid, or Rosh Hashanah yochid toichel, if from Rosh Hashanah yochid to that chatzah, chayiv. He did it. If he did it b'mezid, it's considered that he was mechal Shabbos midoraisa. Divrei Rebbe Elazar, that's Rebbe Elazar's opinion. The opinion of the Chachamim is, if you carried from it, from this chatzah, which is now open to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to this chatzah, potter. It can't be considered like a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, but it's considered like a karmelus. Meneishi karmelus, it's considered like a karmelus, and therefore the halacha is you're not allowed to carry from a Rosh Hashanah Yochid to a karmelus, or furthermore, as we've learned many times, you're not allowed to carry within a karmelus dalet amos. In other words, according to the Chachamim, this chatzur is not treated not like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, nor like Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And therefore, it has the din of a karmelus, which we've discussed many times. It has an issa d'rabbanan. Rabbi Elazar asked the Gemara, Mishum d'nefetz Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, just because you have an area that's open to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, ask the Gemara, Havalei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, does it get the status of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Answers the Gemara, in. Absolutely. Rabbi Elazar the Tamei, because Rabbi Elazar is following his opinion, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Ayim Mishin Rabbi Elazar. Rabbim Shabiru Derech La'atzmam. If the public started walking through an area, Ma Shabiru Biru, whatever they decided should be the public thoroughfare, has the din of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and nobody could prevent them. So our Mishnah is also going to be understood that way, that this chatzur got opened up to the Rishus Rabbim, and people, the Rabbim, started walking there, and therefore, since the Rabbim started walking there, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Lezer, it has a din of a Rishus Rabbim. The Chachamim will hold that just because the Rabbim decided to walk there, it can't be considered like a Rishus Rabbim. Ainy, ask the Gemara, that the way something can become Rishus Rabbim? V'amar Rav Gidla Marav, for who? Shavdalam Derech Bais Asada. The only time a Rabbim could decide to make an area into a Rishus Rabbim is if they really had rights in that area from the first place. But to go to a place where they had no rights in the first place and start walking there, and because they decided to walk there, it should become Rishus Rabbim, of course, nobody could do so. The difference between, the only difference that the halacha says, the Rashbam in Masechet Bava Basra, gives the Rabbim more than it gives the Yochid, explains the Rashbam, is that the Rabbim could do it on their own if they had original rights there. And the Yochid may not do it on his own if he didn't have rights there. But just to be able to just start walking in a place, and because the Rabbim walk in a place, that area should be decided as a Rishus Rabbim, that isn't acceptable. The Chitema, and if you're going to explain the Hachinami, that our Mishnah indeed is only referring to a situation, that the people of the Rishus Rabbim believed that they had rights there, and as we just explained, a Rabbim has specific more power, ask the Gemara, Vamar Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina explained, Ad Makom Mechitza Mechloikus. The Mechloikus between Reb Elezer is only in the area where there was a Mechitza between Rabbanan and Reb Elezer. Do we treat that spot like Rishus Rabbim or Karmelis? But on the spot where there was a Mechitza, knows the inside of the Chatzar, that's where they disagree. But inside the Chatzar, everybody's going to agree it's Rishus Rabbim. So now we see that Reb Elezer is not limiting himself to the spot of where they're walking. He's saying that the entire area of the Chatzar is going to be Rishus Rabbim. Why? Says the Gemara, Ema, indeed, we have to change this and say Amakom Mechitza Machlokes. That the Machlokes of Reb Elezer and the Chachamim is only on the Makom of the Mechitza. And there's a Machlokes, you know, there's a dispute between the people and this owner, if they had a right to walk there. And since he felt that he had a right to walk there, the rabbin feel that they had a right to walk there, Rabbi Lezer gives them that right and makes it into Rishus Rabbim. The Chacham disagree. V'boy Seima, says the Gemara, there's another way of understanding the machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim. The machlokes with Tzidei Rishus Rabbim Kamufki. Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim are arguing about an area which is near the Rishus Rabbim, and many people from the Rishus Rabbim walk on that area. And the question is, how does the halacha treat that area? Does the halacha treat that area as a Rishus Rabbim, or does it treat it like Rishus Yochid? The Rabbi Lezer saw it Tzidei Rishus Rabbim, Rishus Rabbim Dami. Rabbanan saw it Tzidei Rishus Rabbim, Lav Rishus Rabbim Dami. In other words, the Rishonim explained, this area is really technically a Rishus Yochid, but the fact that so many people walk there turns it, according to Reb Elezer, into Rishus Rabbim. Says the Gemara, if that's the machlokes, v'liflag b'tzid Rishus Rabbim ba'alma. So why do they have to say it in the way our Mishnah says it? They could have just disagreed. What is the halacha of b'tzid Rishus Rabbim? So Tosfos, the Ramask Liflagu, asks, maybe the Chachamim don't disagree regarding the halacha of b'tzid Rishus Rabbim. Only in this situation where there was a mechitza there and the owner of that chotzer had a mechitza there, that's why the Rabban hold you can't call it a Tzidei Rishus Rabbim. But in a place which is a full-fledged Tzidei Rishus Rabbim, maybe the Chacham do agree with Rabbi Lezer that Tzidei Rishus Rabbim is Rishus Rabbim. So Tosfos answers that is a misunderstanding of what Tzidei Rishus Rabbim means. He says every Tzidei Rishus Rabbim is standing on Rishus Yochid. But the fact that the Rabbim walks there makes it into Tzidir Rishus Rabim, even if there's no dispute over ownership. So that's why we can't say that that's the explanation of Tzidir Rishus Rabim. That is what that the Chacham really agree. Answers the Gemara, if the Tzidir Rishus Rabim Alma, if the Machloikis was only by Tzidir Rishus Rabim, Havermina, we would maybe have made the error to think, keep when there are different poles that are preventing from the people from walking easily in that area. Where it's easy to walk there, which is as the case of our Mishnah, maybe there they're going to be Maida that Tzidir Rishus Rabim should be considered Rishus Rabim. That's why Kamashmah we had to learn that the Chachamim never agree with the Rebbe Lezer, and the Chum will always hold that Tzidir Rishus Rabim is not treated like Rishus Rabim. So, ask the Gemara. Right? Till now we've explained that the Machloikus of Rebbe Lezer and the Chachamim is not about the Chatzar itself. The Chatzar itself is, everybody going to agree, it remains a Rishus HaYochid, or actually, as the Rabbanan say in the Mishnah, a Karmelis. The machloikus is only going to be on the area where there was a mechitza. And we gave two reasons for that machloikus. Either because according to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbim Shabirulam Derech, since the Rabbim are walking there and they believe that this is their property, that's why Rabbi Lezer holds it's Rishus Rabbim. Or the other reason we gave for Rabbi Lezer why it's considered like a Rishus Rabbim, because he says it's a Tzidir Rishus Rabbim. But the inside of the chatzar, everybody will agree. Ask the Gemara Matachi Kamar. Didn't the Mishnah say Mitoichai that we're not just talking about where the Mechitza was, but we're talking about the actual Chatzar? Answers the Gemara, I did the Amar Rabbanan Mitoichai. Since the Rabbanan spoke about the inside, Amar Iunami Mitoichai, Sir Beleza used the same wording, even though Rabbi Beleza was really only speaking about the place where the Mechitza was originally. Rabbanan, Amar Rabbi Beleza Tzidr Shus Rabbim. The Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Lezer, the way we're understanding now, he's referring to the place of where there was the Mechitza, and he's saying that the place where there was the Mechitza is at Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. What do they respond? Because the Rabbim walked there because it's so close to where they normally walk. What does Rabbi Lezer respond? What did Rabbanan respond? About the inside the Chatzar. So they're not talking about the same thing. How are they having a dialogue on this fashion? Or Mahadrali Inu Mitoichai, he's speaking about the place of the wall, and they're responding about the inside of the Chatzar. Says the Gemara Hoch Kamerle. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Kach Amrle Hoch Kamerle Rabbanan Lebeleza. Mila Kamaydislan. You certainly agree with us that Hecha, the Tilt of Mitoichai Lishus Rabbim, that from inside the Chatzar, where the wall fell down, to the Lishus Rabbim, or Mishus Rabbim Toichoi, carrying from Mishus Rabbim to inside the Chatzar, the Potter. That Potter, as we learned at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, means Potter Avaloser. It's Osim Adrabonin. Nishik Karmelis, because it's only treated as a Karmelis. I say the Rabbanon, Trebelezer, we hold, Tzidei Noemin Loishno, there's no difference between the inside of the Chatzar and the Tzidim, that both could be considered only Karmelis. To which Trebelezer responds, Hasam in the Chatzar itself, like Kadarsi Rabim, and that's why I agree with you that should be considered a Rishus, it should be considered a Karmelis. Hacha, however, the place where the Mechitzas were, where Kadarsi Rabim, where many people are walking, on that spot, I hold it's either Tzidir Rishus Rabim, or I hold it's a place that the Rabim Bir Lam Derech, and therefore it should be considered like Rishus Rabim. So Rishonim ask a question. We're saying that the inside of the Chatzar, and the way the Gemara is explaining it now, say everybody's agreeing is has the din of a Karmelis. And therefore, if you carry from that Karmelis to Rishus HaRabim, it will be part of a Lossum. So as we've discussed many times in our Shurim, when the Rabbanan institute a rule, their rule could only accomplish a Chumrah, not a Kula. So Rishonim asks, this area really is Rishus HaYochid. The Chatzar has three walls. The fourth wall, that wall fell down. A place that has three walls, Midrash is Rishus HaYochid. And carrying from Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim is a Daraisa. So yes, the Rabbanan want to say, and we're learning that even the Rebbe Lezer agrees, that the inside of the Chatzar is to be considered like a Karmelis. So that could be to tell us a chumra that I'm not allowed to carry inside this chatzar even dalar amis, just like the halacha always is that you're not allowed to carry in a karmelis dalar amis. But it can't be to tell us a kula that if you carry from this area to Rosh Hashanah, you'll only be pata avalasar, but you won't be chayv deraisa. Of course you ought to be chayv deraisa. You're carrying from Rosh Hashanah deraisa. So the Rashba, quoting the Ravid, says that this halacha, the three mechitzes, is enough to make a place into Rosh Hashanah, is only in a place where there aren't many people walking. But as we're learning in our Gemara, that since this is an area where many people walking, even though it's enclosed with three walls, it's still not a Rosh Hashanah deraisa, a very bechiddush. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest, that we're not talking about a place that has three mechitzes, it's talking about a place that doesn't have three mechitzes. A third teretz that I saw is that because of this question, we really have to reinterpret how we've been understanding a Mishnah. We understood the Mishnah that the Chamim, and now after we learned the Gemara, are of the opinion that this entire Chatzar has all the rules of a Karmelis. Says the Tosfos Rid, that's not what the Gemara meant to say. That's not what the Chamim meant to say. The Chamim meant to say that we're only going to apply to it the halachas of a Karmelis L'chumra, that you're not allowed to carry in it for Dalar Amis. That we won't treat it like Rosh Hashayachid, that you're allowed to carry, in Rosh Hashayachid we know you can carry as much as you want. But we're not going to apply this halacha l'kula. And indeed, the Rabbanim will agree that if you carry from it to Rosh Hashayachid, you'll be chayiv issa deraisa. Continues the Mishnah. Chatzah shenifetz Rosh Hashayachid shtei ruchusah. If a chatzah opened up to Rosh Hashayachid for two sides, v'chei shenifetz shtei ruchusah, or a home that opened up from two sides. V'chei mavi, we began the Masechta speaking about that you could carry in a mavi if you make shtufa voice and you put up a lechi or a kaira. And now the kaira or the lechi were removed. Mitarim by Shabbos, you could continue carrying there this Shabbos. V'surim la'asolavai, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, in mitarim la'asol Shabbos, he says there has to be consistency. In Matarim Laisa Shabbos, Matarim Laisa Lavai, if it's mutter, it ought to be remain mutter. If Masurim Laisa Lavai, Asur Laisa Shabbos, it should be Asur. Says the Gemara. But Maya Skinen, exactly what is the situation of the Mishnah wants the Gemara to know? Ilema, be'eser, if we're speaking about a case where the breach was 10 amis, Maishna Meruah Achachas, why, if the breach was only one side, Amrina Pischahu? Since the breach was less than 10 amos, so as we've learned from the beginning of Masechta, when you have a breach that's less than 10 amos wide, the halacha doesn't look at it as the wall having been destroyed. Rather, the halacha looks at it like we have an opening. So, if we say that since it's less than 10 amos wide, the halacha only views it as a Pesach, so then Mishtei Ruchas Nami Pischahu. So that ought to be the halacha even if it breached on two sides. Ella, what was me say is the Mishnah referring to? But yes, the Maaser, where the breach was wider than 10 amos. Says the Gemara, if that's the case of a Mishnah, even if it's just on one side, that wall should be considered a wall that fell. Amarav l'olam, the Mishnah speaking about Maaser, where the breach is less than 10 amos. Why is there a difference? Ask the Gemara, therefore, when the breach is on one side versus when the breach is on two sides. Says the Gemara, Kigoyin Shenifritza Karen Zavis, where the breach was in the corner. The Mishnah is not speaking about a case where there were two breaches on two walls, because in that case, the halacha would be that if the breach is less than 10 amis, it's considered like a Pesach. Here, the breach was along the corner of the wall. And there, Pischa b'keren zavus lay of the inchi. Even though the breach is not that wide, but that's not where a person makes a door. And since that's not where a person makes a door, we cannot consider it that it's a, even though it's not that wide, that it should be considered a Pesach. Our Gemara continues now to discuss the concept a p'tikra yarev esoysim, a concept that we've discussed many times, that the walls of a house could come down, and we say p'tikra yarev esoysim. There's machlokes rishonim why P'tikra Yarev Esayisim is effective. Some Rishonim say P'tikra works because of good achas, that the walls come down. Other Rishonim say that P'tikra works because a P'tikra makes it be considered that that area is just a Pesach. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is what P'tikra accomplishes is that it separates that area from any adjoining areas. And the way the Rishonim explain this is that the critical element to consider when we speak about Hilchos Shabbos carrying is that the Rishus should be divided from the other Rishus. And that's what P'tikra accomplishes. So we learned in the Mishnah, V'chein Ba'ayah Shenifritz Mishtei Ruchoseah, when it had openings from two sides. It says that V'mayishna Miruach Achas, why, if it's only on one side, do we continue allowing you to consider this home a Rishus HaYochid? That means P'tikra Yarev Esayisim. So ask the Gemara, if we're going to apply the concept P'tikra, so Mishtei Ruchis Nami Lema P'tikra Yarev Esayisim. Why don't we apply it from two sides as well, if we're following this concept? Answers the Gemara, Amri Debei Rav Mishmei Derav, Kigon Shenifrika Bekeren Zavos. Here too, the Gemara again uses the same teretz as we said before. It was breached in a corner, v'kuriyav belachsen, and the ceiling is now on a slant. The lek lemeimer, under such circumstances, you can't say p'tikra yarev esayisim. So the way Rashi Divrei Maskil Amri explains that you only could say p'tikra yarev esayisim on a flat roof. But here, the roof is slanty, and this is visible in diagram 341 in the Amar HaMavor. And when it's a slanty roof, so Rashi explains, we can't say P'tikra Yarev Esayisim. There are other Rishonim that say, we only could say P'tikra Yarev Esayisim, even on a flat roof, if it's exactly flush with the walls that go up. But if the roof sticks out, juts out from the house, then we can't say P'tikra Yarev Esayisim. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos says that we can never say P'tikra on a corner area. And therefore, here P'tikra is not an option. V'Shmuel Amar, Afilu Yesem Eser. Our Mishnah could be speaking about that the breach was more than 10 amos. Yachi, if you ask the Gemara, if you have such a large breach that it's more than 10 amos, Meruach Achas Nami, so it should be a problem. Why does our Mishnah say it's only a problem by two sides? Answers the Gemara, Mishum Bayis. There's only a problem by a house if it's breached on two sides more than 10 amos. But ask the Gemara, Bayis Gufa Tikshin. But that's difficult to understand. Mishnah Meruach Achas, why, if it only has a breach on one side, then meaning P'tikra Yarev Esayisim? So Mishtei Ruchos Nami naming P'tikra Yarev Esayisim. V'su, asked the Gemara, Miyasa L'Shmuel P'tikra Yarev Esayisim, does Shmuel at all accept the concept of P'tikra? V'itmar, we learned early in this parak, when you have an echsadra, where you have bibika, where you have a place in the field that has four poles with a covering on top over them. So the question is, may you carry under that covering? Rav Amar, Rav says that entire area is considered Rishus HaYochid, but Mutal Talta B'Kulay, because we say P'tikra Yarev Esayisim. V'Shmuel Amar, Eima Talta B'El Ba'Arba Amos, we may not carry there, because Shmuel obviously does not subscribe to the concept of the P'tikra Yarev Esayisim. So why, how do we explain that our Mishnah, according to Shmuel, is to be understood because of P'tikra Yarev Esayisim? Answers the Gemara, Holy Kasha. That question that we just asked, that Shmuel we seem to see does not hold P'tikra Yarev Esayisim, is inaccurate. Shmuel, of course, holds P'tikra Yarev Esayisim. It's just that he doesn't hold a P'tikra in all situations. Ki leslei, when does Shmuel not subscribe to P'tikra? Ba'arba, when we want to rely on P'tikra, in the case that we just spoke about, where there are no walls at all, like we just explained, they're just four poles and a covering on top of them. There, Shmuel is not prepared to accept Pitikra v'yarvisaisim. Aval Sholish, if you have three walls, and it's only the fourth wall that I need to rely on Pitikra, there Islay, there Shmuel does subscribe to Pitikra v'yarvisaisim. But now, so that question is answered. We thought that Shmuel never agreed to Pitikra. Now we see that to a certain degree he does. But ask the Gemara, Mikomakum Kasha. We still have the question. If the house is breached on one side, we say Pitikra. So even if it's on two sides, we should say Pitikra. Answers the Gemara, Ker Amri Be Rav, Mishmei De Rav, Kigon Shenifres Bekar Zavis, where the breach was in the corner, and the Mishnah is speaking about where the ceiling is on a slant. So as we see in the diagram in Rashi here, that the way this wall is breached, we're going to have to say Pitikra four times. And Shmuel doesn't, and we just learned that when you have to say Pitikra four times, Shmuel doesn't subscribe to Pitikra Yervisaisim. So says the Gemara. Why do each of these opinions not agree with each other? That's what the Gemara is going to address. So says the Gemara, Shmuel Amak Rav, Shmuel didn't explain like Rav explained that the house has a slanty ceiling, the lachson like Tani. If we're going to view it the way Shmuel explained it, it's going to be considered an echsadra. And if it's an echsadra, because we have to say, as I just said a moment ago, showing Rashi's diagram, that we're going to have to say Pitikra four times, and Rav doesn't have a problem saying Pitikra four times. Rav l'tamei, dom echsadra mutl tata b'kula. Rav has no problem applying Pitikra, even if you need to apply it four times. For, as we just learned, Ditmar, Achsadi Rebika, that area in the field with the four poles and the covering. So, in order to be able to carry under that covering, we're going to have to say Pitukra four times. Says the Gemara, Rav Amar, Mutal Tatna Bakula, Shmuel Amar, Emer Tatna Ba El Bar Bamas. Rav Amar, Mutal Tatna Bakula, Damrina Pitukra Yervisaisim, and Rav is not troubled to say it even when we have to say it on four walls. But Shmuel holds, you can only carry Arba Amos. Why? Because he doesn't hold Lo Yamrinin Pitikra Yervisaisim. He's not ready to subscribe to the concept of Pitikra Yervisaisim. Says the Gemara, Be'eser, if the breach is less than 10 Amos, Kul Amaloi Pligi, that everybody will agree that we could say Pitikra Yervisaisim. Ki pligi, where do we have the machlokes? We're yesem ama. When it's yesem eser, when the breach is more than 10 amas, that Rav will still continue saying Pitikra and Shmuel will not. Vikad Amri, yeser, when the breach is more than 10 amas, kula amalai pligi, even Rav will agree that we don't say Pitikra. Ki pligi, the machlokes is limited where it's eser, where the breach is 10 amas. Rav will say Pitikra and Shmuel will say, given the circumstances of the Mishnah, we will not say Pitikra.